This is John Nantz from Redwood Advisors, and we are lucky to have Matt Beecher, the CEO of Student Loan Genius, with us today for an interview for the Austin Innovation Ecosystem Report. Matt, I know you're super busy, and I'm really grateful you're taking the time to talk with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. My pleasure.
So, Matt, I know, you know, we've had a number of interviews, and I think one of the things that makes you so distinctive in our interview set is just the number of geographies that you've played in and worked in over your career. So would you mind just telling us a little bit about yourself and the different, you know, places you've worked in your career?
Yeah, sure. So I'm a Boston guy through and through, Patriots, Red Sox, Celtics, Bruins, all the way through. And I spent the majority of my professional career there, you know, going to college there, getting my professional start, managing money, actually, right out of college in Boston. But through that, you know, I had sort of the pleasure of heading out to some other sort of really interesting geographic areas to start businesses, which I think is really kind of interesting to sort of think through the different environments and how different parts of the country work. But from Boston, I spent 3 years in Seattle, where I started an investment management firm there, and then got pulled down to Silicon Valley when, you know, this is late 90s or close to 2000. And, you know, living in Seattle at the time, I had no idea where Silicon Valley was or what it was. Right. And, you know, people were talking about it like I should know what this thing is. And I didn't. And but I ended up moving to Mountain View and joining a Kleiner Perkins backed startup in the late 90s, all the way through 2002. So really riding sort of boom to bust. Right. In a really sort of exciting time. Spent a bunch of time in San Francisco as well. Went back to Boston to start another financial services business. Did about 6 years as a innovation VC in Cambridge. So I'll make the distinction between Boston, Mass and Cambridge, Mass. And now in Austin, Texas, running Student Loan Genius. So yeah, I've done a circuit.
This is going to be great. Yeah. And I just, you know, we've spoken with people who've, you know, we usually maybe worked in one of those places. But yeah. What I really love about your background is you've got time in Boston, Cambridge, Seattle, Bay, and now Austin. I think we haven't talked to anyone who's been able to check more than one of those boxes. Would you mind just telling us a little bit about Student Loan Genius,
just to
give perspective for listeners on what you're up to?
Yeah, so, you know, we're a true startup, and we've been around for about 3 years. And we're really one of the innovators, one of the first providers of what I'm going to call student debt repayment as a benefit. You know, our primary customers are employers and large financial institutions. But really what we're allowing these folks to do is to provide repayment capabilities in the form of a benefit to their employees. And really kind of the main driver there is all around retention and acquisition of talent, right, of staff. I mean, we've reached a place in our economy, and a good place too, where, you know, I don't think we're at zero unemployment, but for skilled workers, we're pretty darn close. And attrition rates over the last 10 years have done nothing but increase, and pretty dramatically, you know, where the average tenure of a skilled knowledge worker is probably 18 months. That's a huge drain on companies, you know, especially companies that, you know, 20 years ago, these were the companies that you join and forget, set it and forget it, right? You got a job, you're there, you're going to retire there, and you're going to have a wonderful life. Those days are gone. And companies are really fighting an expensive battle to sort of, you know, retain and keep the best and brightest. And we're really trying to play in that ecosystem of not locking people down, but giving companies a fighting chance and really kind of putting things in perspective for employees. Because look, from a benefits perspective, unlimited vacation, you know, free lunches, pet insurance, none of this stuff moves the needle. It just doesn't. Like, we can talk about it all we want, but it doesn't. And, you know, even the old tried and true 401k plans and 401k matches don't move the needle. So there's this big evolution that's happening in the benefit space, and we're right on the leading edge of that.
Great. So I know, you know, we are really interested in thinking about Austin's innovation ecosystem.
Yeah.
And like we kind of said at the top of this conversation, you know, you have this great perspective in terms of having experience in a variety of geographies, and I think really distinctive geographies that are really well known for being innovative. You know, one of the things we asked in the survey was kind of asking people to assess Austin in this sort of, you know, framework. Would love to know what, you know, what your assessment would be, if you don't mind sharing it, like how you would characterize it, and then maybe unpack a little bit, like why you think that's an appropriate, why you thought that was the best.
Yeah, option. It's a good question. Look, I'll preface this by saying, you know, I'm a Bostonian, right? And we tend to be a little bit cynical, and we suffer from Schadenfreude, probably the worst of any sort of geographic reason. So we got to take this with a grain of salt, right? And everything I say is with love. But, you know, I've been, you know, really kind of impressed by Austin from a couple of different perspectives. I think there's, you know, a general openness and collaboration, I guess, is probably the word, although I want to try to find a better one than that. But there's definitely an openness and a willingness to sort of explore new ideas and to be part of community, right? And I think what's unique to Austin, it is such a strong and open community, where other places that we've mentioned, Boston, Cambridge, the Bay Area, San Francisco, not so much. You know, not so much. It's really easy for, you know, a newcomer to come into Austin and really kind of be accepted by, you know, a community, whether it's a biking community or a yoga community or, you know, or an innovation startup community. Really easy to access. That says everything about Austin, right? I mean, that's sort of the flavor and the culture. So that's the big strike, you know, that sort of jumped out at me is sort of that acceptance. Which is super, super powerful. Look, I mean, the challenges that Austin have, if we really want to put innovation hub around it, it's missing a key ingredient. University of Texas is amazing, and it's not, you know, a slight on that institution at all. But it's not Stanford. It's not Harvard. It's not MIT. You know, you don't have this sort of natural, you know, spring-fed well of just, you know, massive intellectual horsepower. Just a fact. You know, I think the other things too that are challenging is that you just don't have the scale nor velocity of company creation and wealth creation that affords these ecosystems to really, really survive, right? It's not to say that it will never get there, but it isn't Silicon Valley, right? I mean, that, you know, dollars matter there and intelligence matters. Boston's the same, you know, New York is even now sort of emerged as one of those sort of leading ecosystems because of those two factors, strong academic feeders and company and wealth creation, which really supports those ecosystems. Not to say there haven't been successful companies here, that's not the point, but not with the velocity as other parts of the country. So those are sort of the two things. You have this massively accepting ecosystem, but it's kind of missing a couple of key ingredients that, you know, might not put it on the same scale as other places. Not to say it's not good. It's just not at the same sort of level, I guess.
Right. So going back to that, what's been your, you know, if you compare it to, I mean, making that a little more tangible in terms of like how you're seeing that. I mean, we can look at the data, and I think the data corroborates what you've said. But I'm just curious for you as an operator and someone potentially looking for capital. I'm not sure where you guys, you know, whether you're doing that
sure.
or not. But
always doing that.
Curious about, you know, how you're picking up on that as an operator and like how that actually slows things down when you don't have some of these things you're mentioning. Like what's the, you know, what's the implications of that?
Yeah. So it's interesting. You know, I think, you know, Austin's maybe, you know, biggest negative is actually its biggest benefit too, right? So to play off of what I just said, you know, you don't have, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? The erudition that a Cambridge would have, right? Or even sort of the sometimes pedantic, you know, approach to stuff. You don't have that here. You know, you don't have sort of this notion of, you know, being highly pedigreed and that's the sole scale by which you're judged. That's pretty liberating and pretty amazing. And I think that's, you know, I think what that drives from a culture perspective is a certain underdog approach and sort of a certain grittiness. And that's really wonderful. I have noticed though, and this is running Student Loan Genius and dealing with other companies here, there's a little bit of professional insecurity that exists too, meaning, you know, hey, maybe we're not good enough. Maybe we're not as good as other places. And it's just not true. So I think it's got this nice tension of, you know, not hanging out this sort of air of self-importance because that sort of strips it down. And, you know, man, it's the closest professional environment to a meritocracy that I've ever been a part of. And that's pretty amazing. And that's pretty special. I think it's truly sort of a velocity thing that, you know, that Austin misses, a velocity of capital and really sort of a velocity just of activity. Not to say there isn't any, but
there's like a lack. There's almost like a lack of scale that you're seeing.
It's exactly it. Yep. Yep.
Interesting. So one of the things, and I don't want to force this into like an overly contrived framework here, but we had, you know, in the surveying we were doing, and I think in some of the questioning, you know, kind of looking at these different characteristics, and I just kind of curious, kind of looking at that list, you know, you said something around culture really being, you know, an advantage.
Yeah.
Anything else? And you said, I think a little bit on the talent pool. Yeah. I think you're saying, you know, there's maybe a little bit of, you know, obviously there's not those Ivy League institutions, sure, kind of by definition, but what else jumps out as, and you've kind of talked about a variety of different features, but we'd love to just go back to that and ask a really pointed view. I mean, anything else that jumps out when you look at these other three, we were saying, I think from an Austin standpoint, we can win on this dimension, or it advantages us.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good question. I was talking to a very, very well-known Silicon Valley VC a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago. And, you know, it was around the context of Student Loan Genius. And you know, the comment was pretty simple. It was like, hey, we really love what you're doing. We believe in what you're doing. We just don't invest in Austin. It's like, okay, why? And the response was interesting. You know, he said very clearly, it's like, every time I've been to Austin, and it's been a lot, you never see anybody in an office after 5:30. And that was viewed as this massive negative, meaning people don't work hard and, you know, there's not enough output or throughput or however you want to measure that. There could be truth to that. The flip side is that it's a massively, you know, just wonderful place to live and work, right? And you know, having lived in, you know, just grinds and pressure cookers, you know, like a Boston, like a San Francisco, like a Silicon Valley, and spending enormous amounts of time in New York, it ain't such a bad thing. You know, and I think you have sort of this nice balance, you know, of lifestyle, which really sort of to me translates to happiness. Yeah. And in which, you know, sort of drives productivity. And it doesn't mean that you have to sort of grind 20 hours a day. It's not to say that companies don't do that. I'm not suggesting that at all. So it's this interesting balance, you know, where, again, it's a great benefit of the town that can be viewed as a negative, but I think spun the right way and viewed the right way, it's actually a wonderful thing.
You know, that's kind of interesting because so two of the factors that we looked at were sort of quality of life and then existing work culture, which we sort of distinguished. And I think this is an interesting one where I think that kind of teases out the fact that, like, there's this cultural phenomena. And I think most people that we've talked with would agree that relative to a Bay and a Boston, you just don't see people working the same number of hours. Nope. I mean, it's just fact.
Yep.
And that kind of from a quality of life standpoint makes, you can make a good argument for that being attractive. And you talk, you know, you can find people who say it's easy to attract people to work here because they've got kids and they need bounce. What's your view? I mean, I don't want to push on this too hard because it's a complex issue. But I see the argument. I see them saying, well, if you're never here after 5:30, and I'm not saying that's been what I've seen, but I think in general, I see that. I do see something to that. Do you think that that's what's your sense of the impact of that from a business success standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You know, I've always been of the mindset, and again, this is sort of being primarily a Northeast guy, that has spent the majority of his career working in financial services. You know, I mean, if you're not in by 6, then, you know, you have 1 foot out the door. And if you leave before 10, you're fully out the door, right? So that's just sort of a mindset thing. I'm not saying that's the right answer at all. I you get to the point of diminishing returns pretty quickly. But, you know, I think, you know, what's interesting about here, does it impact sort of the throughput or output of a business? It's hard to argue that it doesn't. Of course it does, right? But, you know, I think there is sort of the niceness of finding the balance of not just good enough, but no, this is exactly right. Because you maintain a little bit of sanity, you know, you maintain quality of life, health is sort of important things, right? And it's, if you're talking about innovation, listen, I mean, I've been doing this a long time, and sitting, you know, in an office behind a computer in a conference room for 20 hours a day does not drive innovation, period. You know, it's actually, you know, when do our thoughts, you know, come to us the most? It's like when we're doing something that it is a little sort of off the, you know, off the rails, right? We're at yoga, we're, you know, on a paddleboard on Town Lake or whatever, right? Those are when it comes to us. And I think Austin has that in spades, where other cities just don't. They just don't.
And what's your view? And I, this is, you know, this is kind of maybe asking your question, you know, view more, almost more as an operator, but potentially an observer of the overall. If you were to make an adjustment, if you had to say, look, like, I'm taking an innovation lens, sure, and I'm the king of Austin and I'm trying to drive innovation. Do we need to make an adjustment? I mean, I think you're saying there's a value to what we're doing, but is that, are we striking the right balance?
Yeah. So it's interesting. The answer is probably not. I think the other side of it, which gets really interesting, and look, I'll take it from a Boston, you know, Cambridge perspective. We, Boston, Cambridge, have been very wonderful at exporting innovation and talent. Who's importing it? Silicon Valley, San Francisco, New York. Yeah. If you're to sort of write the script a little differently for Austin, I might sort of focus less on what we have and be more focused on writing the PR story around, this is an awesome place to live, an awesome place to do business, you know, no state income tax, you know, good sort of business climate. It's not like the rest of Texas. It's actually a pretty liberal, cool place, and import as much of that innovation talent as possible. So I would actually make it an import game versus, you know, maybe trying to cultivate what exists here currently, because I think it has all the attributes, right? And guess what? No one wants to live in Austin.
Right.
So right. Why, this is as good a place as any. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. It does make sense. Do you think the work culture might shift a little bit as we sort of mature? I mean, what's your sense? And I think there's an Austin, there's an inertia, and I think they're positive,
yeah,
you know, positive impact, but... Do you think if you want to play at the A level, I mean, you got to have some flexibility here, and 5:30 every day is not going to...
Yeah, I think so. I don't know what changes that, though, because there's so much fun stuff to do, so much incredibly pleasurable stuff and accessible stuff that doesn't exist in a lot of other major cities. And, you know, I mean, save for the past couple of weeks where it's been cold here, weather's pretty freaking good. You know, so there's always that step outside and let's go do something. Doesn't exist in Seattle, let me tell you. There's 30 sunny days a year, right? You know, Boston, it's, you know, total, you have nothing else to do but work.
Right.
You know, during the winter months, right?
Right.
So I don't know what changes that. I think it's a slow, gradual one. I don't think it happens overnight.
Right. Be interesting to see. It will be interesting to see. Different dimension to the question here. We were looking at these different kind of sectors. You know, people talk about industrial sectors, and we kind of had a list that we were asking people about, and I can kind of show you the list again, yeah, if just to refresh your memory if it's helpful. But just kind of curious, you know, from your view, when you look at the list, I mean, where do you say, you know, when I look at Austin's culture, when I look at Austin's talent base, et cetera, like, where do you say, I think there could be some big winners in this space?
Yep. So, you know, what I think is interesting, and I've actually thought about this a lot, you know, as it relates to Austin, you know, and again, coming back to places where I've been before, where, you know, Boston, Cambridge, you have massive sort of economic diversification, right? Financial services, education, you know, pharma, and, you know, life sciences. I mean, there's just massive diversification there. And, you know, going to a place like Silicon Valley where there's not, right? It's sort of this one-note place, which is really kind of interesting. Now, people are working in a lot of different industries, but it's all tech, right, for the most part. What I think is interesting, you know, about Austin, again, if we're sort of scripting this from scratch, we don't have velocity to be massively diversified. You just can't be. And guess what? You're probably not going to get rich. This is sort of a rule of life, right? By diversifying. You do that after you have, you know, kind of any kind of wealth, right? So, you know, again, if you're to script it, you know, you kind of try to pick one thing. Like, you think about another, you know, tier two city. Think like Nashville. Like, even though it has a burgeoning, you know, in a growing tech scene, it's all healthcare, right? That's what it is. So, you know, I'd love for to see Austin, again, if you're scripting this, to say, nope, we are this. We are fintech. Pretty good pedigree, pretty good lineage of stuff here to do that. you know, data management and storage, pretty good sort of lineage, you know, here to do that. And I'm just thinking tech, right? Because that's kind of the world I know. But yeah, you'd kind of almost want to pick one thing and be like, no, we are this. And here are the 10 reasons why.
What do you think that would be? I mean, you were mentioning a few of these.
Yeah, so look, I mean, we're a fintech company.
Right.
I'd kind of lean there, and it's kind of weird because it's not a financial center. But I do think you have good feeder, you know, in the form of UT that's, you know, produces really good people at scale, which is great. You have some wonderful fintech companies here. You know, they've done some really kind of amazing thing in the banking side. You know, Q2 sort of immediately sort of comes to mind. So you have a pretty good sort of ecosystem and network of highly profitable and highly successful fintech companies or financial service companies. Boy, it just seems like hit that. Just keep hitting that because, you know, innovation. I mean, the diaspora that comes just out of Q2, for example, you can't tell me there aren't a million ideas of things to do and things to build.
Definitely.
The ecosystem needs to know that and support that in order for that to sort of move forward.
You know, one thing that's kind of come up in some of our other interviews is just people kind of, and it kind of dovetails off this point on quality of life, that there's a little bit of a consumer sensibility in the air in Austin, in a way that you almost don't get in almost a middle American touch.
Right.
And people have been saying, you know, could that be parlayed into a consumer play? Like, does Austin potentially have a comparative advantage in terms of understanding your middle American, you know, just your normal American, not a San Franciscan? It's a very different lifestyle out there.
Yeah.
Do you think there's merit to that? Do you see that?
Yeah. Oh, I totally do. I mean, look, you know, and I'll just go back to, you know, prior stops along, you know, along my journey. You know, being in a place like Cambridge, right, where you have Harvard and MIT, and spending a lot of time in those ecosystems with, you know, both undergraduate and graduate students around innovation. And, you know, I got to sort of phrase this the right way, but, you know, you would think the quality of ideas and concepts that come out of there are mind-blowing. They're not. They're just not. You know, and it's that classic sort of building to, you know, the N of one or N of two, which is incredibly niche-y, you know, versus, you know, to sort of more mass scale. So, yeah, I'm agreeing with that statement, you know, that I think, you know, a town like Austin or any, you know, middle of the coast towns, you know, whether it be Nashville and or, you know, other places, St. Louis, right? Totally different perspective. That's absolutely probably bang on if you're going to build a true consumer company.
If you had to, just a slightly different framing on this question, you know, if you were to say, hey, if I could supercharge Austin.
Yeah.
You know, what would be the three things where you'd say, man, I'd love to do this, this, and this? Like, what are the three things that you'd say I think I could make would really change the game?
Yeah, I mean, I go back to that original concept. I mean, sometimes it's just a PR thing, you know? And I think, you know, Austin doesn't have any trouble recruiting people to live here, right? We know that. You know, you talk to people that have lived in Austin for 10, 15, 20 years, they're like, I remember when, right? So the city has changed dramatically, and I think, you know, cost of living has adjusted accordingly. But if you're really talking about focusing on innovation, you know, I'd say Austin probably has a little bit of a PR problem. Not a PR problem as a place to live and have fun and go see live music and eat good food, right? And no PR problem there. I think for a true innovation hub, it does. So I think you attack the problem. Again, if it was left to, I'd attack the problem exactly like that and saying, okay, there's got to be a little bit of a change here from a PR perspective, meaning let's highlight the great companies that are here. And sometimes, you know, it's taken me a while. It's like, oh, I didn't know that company was here because no one talks about it, right? Except in very sort of close, you know, circles, even like Whole Foods. Sometimes, you know, you got to remind yourself, it's like, oh, wait a minute. No, that's an Austin company. Duh. And there's a million examples of that because, you know, Austin doesn't lead with that. So, you know, I think there's a PR problem that needs to be solved for. And I think they're just like any, you know, building any great ecosystem or team or business, you know, I think you probably have to sort of start recruiting really sort of top talent here. I mean, Seattle was nowhere on the roadmap, nowhere. I mean, I lived in Seattle in the late 90s and it was a backwater town, 100%, right? And, you know, Bezos puts the company there for tax reasons, and it changed everything. Everything. That's an import. Yeah. So I think, you know, Austin can sort of do well, you know, by that. You know, it's a talent thing. And look, I mean, UT is doing a great job, you know, with, you know, bringing Bob Metcalf in and other people, you know, really sort of name people. That's really, really important. But I think, you know, Austin can do more of that and really sort of celebrate the companies and the successes that are here, because there's been a lot.
Right. So sort of this PR thing about just, you know, getting, not necessarily from the quality of life standpoint, which I agree with you, that's being done very well.
Very well.
We play our cards in a very aggressive way, and it's very high quality of life, and I think we get credit for that.
Yeah.
But the innovation component, the successes we've had, I think this point on talent, trying to get to bring in talent who can you know, mix things up and start things. Third thing you would add, I'm not to you know, force the third one, but just curious, just to, if you had a third thing you could pick, you'd say, man, I'd love this to shift.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, you know, there's some sort of level of focus that needs to happen, right? And again, this just goes to PR and architecturing. You know, if you really want to architect a, you know, a true innovation hub, like, no, we're going to be fintech, or we're going to be cybersecurity. I pick one. That's what we're going to do. And I think another big win too is you know, San Francisco has no problem, or the Valley has no problem doing this. New York has no problem doing this. But, you know, a big win, I think, you know, for Austin would be to pull, you know, a company that's raised $80 million or something, you know, to relocate to Austin. Like, that would be huge to sort of move the needle, you know, as a real place to kind of do business and to end up. Talent's everything. Let's just cut to the chase. Like, it's all about talent. It just is. It doesn't work if you can't have an innovation, you know, hub if you don't have innovators, period.
Right, right. I want to go back, you know, you kind of were starting off on this, and I think in a way that, you know, a lot of the people we have spoken with did not, but that kind of cultural lens to this, and you were kind of talking about sort of the meritocratic, you know, non-overly, you know, overvaluation of educational pedigree. Mm-hmm. Just wanted to circle back to that cultural characteristics topic, because I think it's really interesting. Anything else that jumps out to you? And you did talk about it a little, but just wanted to give you an opportunity to address it directly. When you think about culture, you know, what are the things that you're saying, hey, this is really a plus for us? And then obviously on the flip side, kind of what, you know, what you think might hold us back?
Yeah, I mean, look, and it's taken me a long time, you know, personally and professionally to get there. But this is one of the best places I've ever worked, right? And I'll sort of just use that term, you know, as broad as I can. And, you know, I think it's this magical mix of people opening and accepting. I think part of sort of the general culture here, because you don't have that pedigree, you know, hangover or overhang, is, you know, it feels like a truly non-judgmental place. So what does that translate to? I think Austin probably does a great job of getting the absolute most out of the people that are here. I don't have any data to back that up.
That's fine.
Right. But it definitely is this feeling that I have that, man, you can really, you know, turn the wrench and grind people, but I don't think you're going to get as much out of them as Austin does. I think probably Austin does a great job at optimizing the talent.
Why is that? When you compare it to a place that's more educational pedigree centered, just to unpack that a little bit, because I'm really curious about it. What's the flip side of that? When you have the opposite, how does that manifest, and why does that mean you don't get as much out of people?
Yeah, I think, you know, with New York has unlimited inventory. Right? Boston pretty much has unlimited inventory. Austin really doesn't, right? You know, I know people move into Austin at a pretty rapid clip, but it's not an unbounded level of inventory. So I think you have to be very careful with the inventory you have. I think every company, successful company that's been there here, recognizes that. Because you can go down the list, and culture is, you know, company culture is always this important thing, because there isn't an unlimited pool. You can't burn people out and then flip it and then bring somebody else in. You can't do it. So you have to be really sort of cognizant of the talent you have and treat them well. So I think it's been, you know, this sort of net benefit, you know, that's happened that really doesn't exist in other places. Plus, people just get mean and ugly and ornery and awful, right? It's so nice to be smiling every day than not.
right. There is that productivity coefficient for smiling a fair amount of time.
That's right.
What's the flip side of that when you take a cultural lens to, and we kind of alluded to it a little bit on things that are holding us back. I think the most specific thing is sort of, you know, the hours thing and people just almost like without thought leaving at a certain time, to, regardless of whether, you know, how important things are that need to get done. What else would you say from a cultural characteristic where you say, you know, the openness and all this is really good, but this thing is a problem or this thing kind of holds us back, this cultural tendency we have in Austin?
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm going to sort of be careful here.
Sure.
But it doesn't take you very long. You don't have to spend a lot of time in Austin to realize that there isn't a ton of diversity here in Austin. It just is what it is. So, you know, I think there is sort of that downfall. And this is where I go to sort of importing, you know, talent. I mean, you know, again, if you're to write a script, like you have to do a better job at having, you know, better diversity, better ethnic diversity, you know, in this town. It's really, really striking how absent it is. So if there's...
Which, and it is interesting because Texas is not a particularly undiverse state,
right?
And you look at a place like the Bay or Boston, which are in states that are less diverse, but in the cities you don't see it. It is actually a really interesting phenomena.
Yeah,
that Austin's, I mean, Texas does not have, you know, obviously a lot of Hispanic people, but you wouldn't necessarily know that in Austin.
No, and it's, and again, I mean, you know, I haven't been here for you know, a very long period of time, but it takes you all of about 30 days to sort of realize, like, oh my goodness, there's none. I'm exaggerating the point, but it's very little. And look, I mean, you need that from so many different perspectives, just flat out, period, you need it. And so this goes back to a PR problem too, right? I think there's, you know, folks around the globe that, you know, would die to come to the United States to start a company, but they end up in the normal sort of checkpoints, right? Boston, New York, Silicon Valley, or Bay Area.
Anything else on that cultural point? I know this is a little bit of a sensitive, you know, this is always a sensitive conversation, or sensitive topic, excuse me. Anything else where you're just like, you know, we've had people kind of talk about, you know, people, you know, maybe it's not, you know, people don't tend to be as strategic, or, you know, the problem solving tends to be a little bit not as robust. I'm just curious if you have any, if you've seen
it. So I have seen that, right? And I put it all to sort of experience and just lack of velocity, right? I think there's very few people in town that have gone through multiple business cycles that have really sort of seen markets turn, have seen industries turn, have seen strategies and tactics come and go. You know, any sort of emerging tech scene also always sort of runs foul of, you know, sort of the tech crunch as Bible methodology to business, you know, or you know, the hottest sort of blog writer, you know, out there. It's like, well, Fred Wilson said this, so it must be true. It's like, okay, you've got to sort of experience a little bit. So I think if there's one knock, even though there's been massively successful companies here, and I'm not suggesting, but not at scale, right? Just not at scale. So I think that breeds, you know, to a certain sort of character of people that just don't have the experience. Not to say they don't have the smarts, but it's really kind of that practical kind of, you know, sort of in, you know, intrinsic sort of understanding of how things work, because I've been there before. I've lived it.
Right.
And we've seen this story play out. Just not there yet. Yeah. So I think that's a big thing for Austin, you know? And I think there are people around town that, you know, are like, look, we're going to change that. That means I might have to get on the stump and put my neck out there a little bit and sound like a crazy person, because I know I don't have that experience, but that's okay. That's part of moving the ball forward. And I think there's some great people and some great groups that are doing that in town.
Right. Matt, I just want to thank you. This has been a really interesting conversation, and I think your very unique perspective, and I think very, you know, national perspective really comes through, and I really appreciate it. This has been very interesting and fun to listen to.
It was my pleasure. It was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt.